Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
He had never believed in ghosts. He wasn't the kind of person who argued with anyone who did. But he assumed most supposedly paranormal experiences had ordinary explanations. Houses made noises. People saw things in the dark that weren't really there. And once someone decided a place was haunted, every strange sound suddenly became evidence. His wife had always been more open to the possibility. She liked ghost stories and occasionally watched paranormal shows, although she didn't believe every unexplained noise meant a spirit was nearby. Their two children had grown up somewhere between the two of them, curious enough to be interested, but used to hearing their father explain why something probably wasn't supernatural. That dynamic had never caused any real disagreement until they moved into the house. It was an older home built sometime in the early 1950s, with hardwood floors, smaller rooms, and the low ceilings and exposed pipes typical of basements from that era. The basement was actually one of the reasons he liked the place. Most of it was unfinished, with a laundry area at one end and storage shelves along two walls, but someone had once created a workshop in the back corner. There was a heavy wooden workbench attached to the wall, pegboard above it, drawers underneath, and narrow shelves that still held old jars filled with screws, washers, and nails. The previous owners had taken most of the tools, but the workshop itself remained. He wasn't much of a woodworker, but he did repairs around the house and liked having the space. Before long, his own toolbox, drill, and collection of miscellaneous hardware had found their way onto the old bench. For the first year, there was nothing particularly strange about the house. The furnace clicked when it came on, pipes occasionally knocked, and the basement stairs creaked badly enough that nobody could go down without everyone upstairs knowing about it. The first person to mention anything unusual was his youngest child. One evening at dinner, the child asked why Dad had been working downstairs so late the night before. He had no idea what they were talking about, and apparently, sometime after everyone had gone to bed, there had been banging from the basement. The child described someone hammering several times, stopping, and then starting again. He immediately assumed it had been the furnace. His wife pointed out that the furnace didn't sound anything like a hammer, but he wasn't concerned. Sound traveled strangely through houses, especially through basement ductwork, and whatever the child heard probably came from somewhere else. A week or two later, his wife heard it. She was home alone one afternoon when several distinct blows came from beneath the kitchen floor. At first, she assumed he had come home early and gone straight downstairs. Then the hammering started again. When she went to the basement door, she could still hear several hard strikes, followed by what sounded like something scraping across wood. By the time she reached the bottom of the stairs, everything had stopped and the workshop was empty. When she told him that evening, he suggested the pipes or furnace. When she ruled those out, he decided the sound must have come from outside. Someone working in a nearby garage or shed could easily sound different through basement walls. His wife eventually stopped arguing. Over the next few months, however, everyone in the family heard the same thing. It was never constant. Sometimes weeks passed without anything happening, and then someone would hear several minutes of what sounded unmistakably like work being done downstairs, since the pattern was usually the same. A few hammer strikes, a pause, more hammering, and occasionally the scrape of something being shifted across the workbench. His daughter heard it one Saturday morning while doing homework at the kitchen table. She assumed her father was downstairs repairing something until he walked through the front door carrying groceries. His son heard it one evening and came into the living room asking what Dad was building. Again, he hadn't been downstairs, and by then his wife simply referred to it as the workshop noise. He continued looking for an explanation. One weekend, he spent nearly an hour downstairs while his wife walked around upstairs running faucets and turning appliances on and off. The washing machine could make a repetitive knocking sound during its spin cycle, but it wasn't the same. The furnace made plenty of noises, but none resembled wood being struck. Even the pipes produced more of a dull, metallic thump. Nothing sounded right. He eventually decided the noise probably originated somewhere outside the house. Several neighbors had garages or sheds where they worked on projects, and sound could travel farther than people realized, especially at night. That explanation lasted until one evening in early winter. His wife had taken the kids to visit her sister, leaving him alone for the night. He ate dinner, watched television, and eventually went downstairs to move clothes. As he reached the bottom of the stairs, he noticed the workshop light was on, and he was almost certain he hadn't left it that way. He looked around but found nothing unusual. His tools were put away, a few pieces of scrap wood were stacked beneath the bench, and there was nothing to suggest anyone had been in the room. He turned off the light, finished the laundry, and went back upstairs. About an hour later, while he was watching television, he heard three hard knocks beneath the floor. He muted the TV. After a short pause, there were four more. He sat listening as the sound stopped and then started again. This time, there was no question what it resembled. Someone was hammering in the basement. He stood and walked toward the basement door, already going through the same explanations he had offered everyone else. Furnace, pipes, a neighbor working nearby, something loose in the walls. The hammering continued as he crossed the room. When he opened the basement door, it became louder. Standing alone at the top of those stairs, he finally had to admit one thing his family had been telling him for months. The sound was coming from the old workshop. He stood at the top of the basement stairs, listening for several seconds before going down. The hammering continued as he descended, which bothered him more than he wanted to admit. Until then, he had always assumed the sound was being distorted by the house somehow. From the living room, it might have seemed as though it came from the workshop when it actually originated in the furnace room, the walls, or even somewhere outside. But the farther down the stairs he went, the clearer it became. It was coming from the back corner of the basement. There were a few hard strikes, a pause, then several more. By the time he reached the bottom step, he could even hear the slight difference between the blows, the way a hammer sounded when it struck wood instead of metal. There was nothing random or mechanical about the rhythm. It sounded like someone working. He walked toward the workshop and the hammering stopped. He switched on the light and looked around, already expecting to find something that would make the whole thing obvious. The room was empty. His tools were exactly where he had left them. And there was nothing on the workbench except a tape measure, a small box of screws, and a piece of scrap lumber. He checked the walls and ceiling, then walked around the basement looking for anything that could have caused the noise. The furnace was off, the washing machine had finished long before, and no pipes were moving or vibrating. Finally, he went upstairs and stepped outside, but the neighborhood was quiet. Nobody was working in a garage, there were no construction sounds in the distance, and he couldn't hear repeated banging from anywhere nearby. For the first time, he didn't have an explanation. He still wasn't willing to call it paranormal. When his wife came home the next day, he told her he had finally heard the workshop noise himself. She looked almost amused when he immediately followed that by saying he still thought there had to be a reason for it. She didn't argue. She simply pointed out that he had now heard exactly what the rest of them had been describing for months. That bothered him more than if she had tried to convince him the house was haunted. Over the next several weeks, he paid much closer attention to the basement. He checked the furnace when the hammering happened, noticed whether the washing machine or dryer had been running, and even started paying attention to the weather because he wondered if changes in temperature or wind might be affecting something in the house. Nothing lined up. The sound occurred on cold nights and mild ones. Sometimes the furnace was running, but other times it wasn't. It happened when the house was full and when someone was home alone. His wife eventually stopped asking what he thought it was. Then other things started happening, nothing major, and certainly nothing he would have called proof of anything. But once he started paying attention, he realized the workshop noise wasn't the only strange thing his family had noticed. His daughter occasionally heard footsteps on the basement stairs when nobody was down there. His son had twice seen what he thought was someone standing near the basement door, only for the hallway to be empty when he looked again. His wife had her own experience one afternoon while carrying laundry downstairs. She was halfway down the steps when she saw movement near the workbench and assumed her husband had come home. She only saw the person briefly from the side, but she was certain someone had been standing there. Then she remembered his car wasn't in the driveway. She went back upstairs without finishing the laundry. When she told him about it, he suggested shadows from the basement window or headlights passing outside. She listened, nodded, and changed the subject. It wasn't until later that he realized she had stopped expecting him to believe her. That bothered him, too. The experience that finally changed something happened about a month after he first heard the hammering for himself. He was in the basement late one evening, cleaning up after a small repair project. The rest of the family was upstairs, and he was standing near the laundry area sorting a few tools. From inside the workshop came the unmistakable sound of a hammer striking wood. He froze. There were three blows, spaced evenly apart, followed by a short pause and another series of strikes. This time there was no floor between him and the sound, no ductwork carrying noise from another room, and no question about which part of the basement it came from. He was standing less than 20 feet away. He slowly set down the wrench in his hand and turned toward the workshop. The light in that corner was off, but enough illumination reached it from the laundry area that he could see the outline of the workbench and shelves. The hammering continued as he walked toward it. With each step, he expected to see something that would finally explain it. A loose board vibrating against the wall, something falling from a shelf, a pipe knocking behind the pegboard. Instead, the sound kept coming from directly ahead of him. When he was only a few feet from the workshop entrance, it stopped. The silence was immediate. He stood there for a moment before reaching around the doorway and switching on the light. Nothing moved. There was no hammer on the bench, and when he checked his own tools, both hammers he owned were inside the toolbox where he had left them. He looked under the bench, behind the shelves, and along the wall as though someone might somehow be hiding there. But the workshop was empty. He stayed downstairs much longer than he needed to, determined not to let himself become frightened by an empty room. He checked everything he could think of and found nothing. Eventually, he went upstairs. His wife was sitting in the living room when he came in, and she took one look at him and asked what had happened. For once, he didn't begin with an explanation. He told her he had been standing in the basement when the hammering started inside the workshop. He had walked toward it while it continued, and it had stopped only when he reached the doorway. Then he admitted something he had never said before. He had no idea what made that sound, and his wife didn't smile or remind him how many times she had said the same thing. She only listened. That night, long after everyone else had gone to bed, he lay awake thinking about every experience he had dismissed since they moved into the house. For the first time, he wasn't trying to explain what his family had been hearing. He was wondering whether they had been right. For the next few days, he avoided talking much about what had happened in the basement. For years, his position had been simple. If something strange happened, there was an explanation. Maybe it wasn't obvious right away, but eventually someone would find it. Now he had been standing less than 20 feet from the workshop while the sound of hammering came from inside it. There had been no furnace running, no washing machine, and no wall or floor distorting what he heard. He had walked toward the sound while it continued, and it stopped only when he reached the doorway. He knew what he heard, and that was the problem. He checked the workshop again anyway, looking for loose boards, vibrating pipes, or anything else that might produce the sound. He found plenty of small things capable of making noise, but nothing that sounded like a hammer striking wood. His wife mostly left him alone about it. She had spent too long having her own experiences explained away to suddenly push him toward a conclusion he clearly wasn't ready to reach. The next time his son mentioned hearing footsteps near the basement stairs, he started to give the same answer he always had, then stopped himself. Instead of suggesting the sound came from somewhere else, he asked what the footsteps sounded like and where his son had been when he heard them. It was a small change, but his family noticed. His daughter eventually asked whether he thought the house was haunted now. He told her he didn't know. That was the first time any of them could remember hearing him say that. He still didn't like the word haunted because it seemed to answer a question. He wasn't prepared to answer. All he could admit was that something was happening in the basement that he could not explain. The workshop noise continued. Sometimes weeks passed without anyone hearing it, and then the hammering would begin again for a minute or two before stopping. He no longer went downstairs every time. After experiencing it himself, he finally understood why his wife and children sometimes preferred to stay upstairs. Several months later, the entire family heard it together. They were in the living room watching television when three hard blows came from below, followed by a pause and another series. His wife looked toward him immediately, and the children did too. Nobody said anything at first. The hammering continued beneath them, followed by the familiar scraping sound across wood. In the past, he would have gotten up and gone downstairs, determined to prove there was some ordinary cause. This time, he stayed where he was. His son finally asked if he heard it. He said yes, so that was all. The sound continued for another 20 or 30 seconds and then stopped. The family went back to watching television, although none of them paid much attention to it. Later that night, his wife asked what he thought was happening downstairs. He could still offer possibilities, but none of them explained what he had experienced while standing only a few feet from that empty workshop, so he admitted that he didn't know. He also told her he probably owed the family an apology. They had been describing these things for a long time, and instead of listening, he had been more interested in proving why they must be mistaken. His wife didn't tell him she had been right. She simply said that none of them had ever needed him to believe every paranormal story. They only wanted him to believe they were telling the truth about what they experienced. That changed the way he thought about the house. He still couldn't say what the footsteps, brief figures, or workshop noises meant, but he could no longer dismiss them simply because they didn't fit what he believed should be possible. The family never discovered much about the workshop. They learned that a previous owner had spent a great deal of time downstairs repairing things and building small projects, but there was no tragic story connected to him and no record of anyone dying in the basement. So in a way, he preferred that. There was no neat explanation waiting to turn everything into a ghost story. They simply had an old workshop where every now and then someone seemed to be working. Years later, he still described himself as skeptical. He remained the person most likely to look for an ordinary explanation first. The difference was that he no longer assumed there always had to be one. Every so often, the hammering still came from the basement. Sometimes he checked afterward, mostly out of habit, but the workshop was always empty. Nothing was disturbed, no tools had moved, and no hammer appeared on the bench. He still couldn't say there was a ghost in his basement. But he could no longer say there wasn't. And after years of always needing an explanation, he had finally learned to live with not having one.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.